Back and all the kids, and you have no idea how much you're missed when you're not here.
No idea.
So I'd like to welcome some new people here today. They're visiting, and welcome back some people we haven't seen in a while, and of course all of the regulars. And you guys get to experience what shouldn't be a rare thing, but it is a rare thing today. It's something that men love to do. We love to apologize. Time for a quick apology, and I'm going to be clear on how I phrase this so you know what it's about. So last week I read an article from the FDA that about the ban on beef in 2024. And here's the problem. I got contacted by a couple people, and you know, Tom, the fact checkers all said that's bogus. That's April Fool's joke, or it's a, Snopes.com. Anybody know what Snopes is? Yeah, they're really faithful. George Soros owns that. You know that, right? Okay. So everything you read on there is perfect. But here's the bottom line. I should have done a lot more research on it. I should have been a little bit more careful on it, because here's what I found out after spending the proper amount of time this week. And I wanted to apologize for saying, for not really getting all the facts first, because that's important. And that's something we ought to do. And if we do make a mistake, if it's me, I'm gonna own up to it. Number two, and this is really important, never believe the fact checkers, okay? Number three, see, here's the issue. There are some people that are saying that it was a draft. Now, it's kind of sort of like the Supreme Court thing going on right now, right? It is a draft, but it's not a final decision.
Right.
Highly likely it may become a final decision, or that wouldn't have been leaked. We don't know, though. It's not a final decision. But other people will say, some say it's a draft, some say it's actually real, and some say it's a hoax. And there's always three sides on the internet, so you got to be careful what you watch. And so I'm just going to stand up here and tell you that I read what I read. I thought it was authentic. I'm not sure now. Not 100% sure, but this is what I do know. Everything that was read in that draft is absolutely true, in the sense that it has been spoken by the world's elites and the FDA. So they truly did say that cows are the problem. Cows are the problem for methane gas. In fact, cows are more of a problem than Islamic terrorism. So it's reality. And it is true, absolutely, that Bill Gates has been pushing this for a long time, because he stands to make a lot of money out of it. But more importantly, I don't think that's his agenda. We'll get to his agenda in a second. The climate controlists will have you believe that if we are not doing this green initiative, we are worse than people that are killing Christians and Jews across the world. And that's an absolute truth. That's what they believe. And I'm not up here to really get into that, but I wanted to bring this up because we need to be careful in what we say, and I wasn't careful enough, so I'm sorry. But thank you, Jim. I got one forgiveness. I got one. But the purpose I brought it up still stands, and this is the reason. They are still producing fake beef. Yes. It's going to be produced more and more. A lot of countries are limiting and cutting back on beef already, and the United States has been talking about it, and what they talk about usually ends up happening somewhere down the road, so it's something we should be concerned about. And the real reason you got to wonder about this is why. Why is there such a big push? Are they really concerned about the climate? Because the real scientists have all said that's a bunch of hogwash. But see, if you're trying to push an agenda and you realize most of the population is just going to buy into your junk, then you're just going to keep feeding the junk. You're going to keep feeding the propaganda if it works. Now, in Hitler's day, they wouldn't have kept running with certain propaganda if it wasn't working. That's why his right-hand man said, we just tell them a lie often enough, they'll believe it's the truth. If we keep doing it even more than that, we'll even begin to believe it's true. See, the reality is they have an agenda, and they're pushing it on us in plain sight. So is Bill Gates really concerned about climate?
No.
I highly doubt it. I mean, never has he really indicated anything or done anything that would indicate that. Is he, I mean, this one you may disagree with me on, but is it really that he needs to make some more money?
Yes.
Now, I do realize that money's never enough for people that that's their focus, but is that really what's driving him? I don't think so. Is he focused on making his dream of population control a reality? Now, see, it's not just his dream. Whose dream is it? The Illuminati. It's Satan's dream. Satan's dream is to destroy everything. So Gates wants to do this through any cause that he can get to do it. Now, this is something else that is absolute fact. It's not something that's being done yet that we know of, so don't get all wigged out. But he has stated in public that he feels that they should put the vaccine into our foods, and in particular, the foods everybody eats. So I'm not going to stand up here and do what I did last week. I'm not telling you that that's being done, but I can tell you this. The stuff in synthetic foods and in the GMO foods is poison at some level. Okay? If you take 1 milligram of Roundup, chances are you're not going to die. You take 500 milligrams of it, you probably will be dead in about 10 seconds. The reality is they're putting stuff in there that is not good for you, and there's a reason for it. See, it's all about controlling people and eventually the population. And this is why, if you're new here, I'm sorry, we don't bring cupcake messages. You know, I sat around and thought about it. You know, maybe I could talk about how Jesus loves them. But then I thought, well, they could just go to 10,000 other churches and synagogues, and that's all they're going to hear. They're going to hear these little patty cake cupcakes. I went online and I Google sometimes just for fun. Like if there's nothing on TV, there's no teacher you want to hear, and you just want to have fun, Google top sermons out there. You will be laughing for hours. It's embarrassing. So it brings me to this, what I'm going to talk about today a little bit, and it's the 2030 agenda. A lot of you have heard of it. Some of you maybe not so much. And you might say, oh, Tom, this has no place on Shabbat. Why are we talking about this? This is politics. Well, I would submit to you that it's how we're going to live our life on earth. And it's also what you're going to be dealing with in finishing the race. It's also what you need to know so that you can warn others, whether they're family members or friends. It's also what you can know to protect yourself and to at least rely on the Father. So at the end of the day, my goal is not to get you to do things to save your own life. It's to get you to depend more on the Father. And that's where we need to be. The 2030 agenda, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, so I'm not going to bore you to death with that. But I highly recommend you read it. You need to know your enemy. You need to know who you're doing battle with. And you need to know what's reality and what's just people out there. There's so many different opinions on the internet. You can find the front and the back of the coin on any subject. Go read it right on the UN's website. And I'm just going to read some highlights from it. The 2030 agenda has 17 sustainable development goals and 169 targets within those 17. According to the UN, all countries, now when they mean all, does anybody know what all means? It means all. They're not leaving out the poor countries over here or over there. They want them all. All countries and all stakeholders acting in a collaborative partnership will implement this plan. The goals and the targets will stimulate action over the next 15 years. This was written in 2015, hence 2030 agenda. And they are in areas of critical importance for humanity and the planet. So on the outset, to the untrained mind, and certainly the mind that doesn't know Yeshua and doesn't know the Bible, this is something that is good for the planet and good for humanity. I would suggest to you it's exactly the opposite. This is on the UN's COVID response section of their website. The pandemic is an unprecedented wake-up call, laying bare deep inequalities and exposing precisely the failures that are addressed in the 2030 agenda for sustainable development and in the Paris Agreement on climate change. Leveraging this moment of crisis, when usual policies and social norms have been disrupted, bold steps can steer the world back on track towards the sustainable development goals. This is the time for change, for a profound systemic shift to a more sustainable economy that works for both people and the planet. The sustainable development goals are vital for a recovery that leads to a greener, more inclusive economy and stronger and more resilient society. So, you still think there's no agenda? So how does this line up with the Bible? It's important for us to understand that all of this is happening at the hands of the world leaders, the UN, the elites, the Illuminatis, whoever you want to call them, the Davos crowd, the World Economic Forum. It's all setting up the fulfillment of prophecy in the book of Revelation.
That's right.
It's all setting up to fulfill the prophecies of the prophets, who didn't go into as detail as Revelation, but they had bits and pieces of it. Their goals are often spoken of, and they talk about things that are, and they put it down in plain English for us to see. And do you realize that these people are not as biblically illiterate as you might think? They don't have their heads completely in the sand. They may be evil, but it doesn't mean they're stupid. And we should not misunderstand or mistake the two. Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum said this. He is one of the elite. And he is saying this to you and me, the non-elite. You will own nothing and you will be happy about it. This is their agenda. Using climate control, fake pandemic, government-induced supply chain issues, government-controlled hyperinflation, they are just about ready to implement their final agenda. And it is not going to be pretty. But the problem is, most Christians are sleeping. Yep. Most Messianics are sleeping.
Yep.
Most Jews are sleeping.
Yep.
Most people who use the Bible as their source of strength are sleeping. They're not worried about it. God will take care of me. He'll rain manna from heaven. I'll be fine. We'll have a little aura of protection around us. You know, he does things different every time, so I wouldn't count on that manna raining down.
Amen.
Now, he may take care of those who are faithful to him, but he's got some conditions in his word.
Yeah, buddy. Come
and those
on.
Conditions are, if you will do this, then I will do this.
Amen.
And most people, like Scott illustrated, you know, it's like holiness, it's not attainable. Why even bother? Yeshua did it perfectly so we don't have to.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of sort of joke about it because to us it is, but it's sad that that's the predominant view in the so-called Christian world. Is Shabbat important? Jim brought this up in, I think, the last Torah portion, and maybe on Thursday, but I think it was the last Torah portion. Is Shabbat important?
Yes.
Is it even important? Because a lot of people wake up in the morning, do we even want to go today? I love the way you did that last week. He's like, do we even want to go? When was the last time you and I walked up? Do we want to show up? Can we just, like, leave them hanging? Yeah, you know, I was tired. I had a tough week, slept 3 hours. I think I'll just stay home. I was talking with my son-in-law about that. There's no urgency to fulfill this. The commandment, you got to understand, the commandment to gather on Shabbat is not as much that he wants to see you here. It's that everybody needs each other.
Yeah.
It's for our good.
Yes.
It's just not a let's see if they'll do this thing. You got to understand, there's no commandment that is precedented by God just saying, let's see if they'll do this. It's all for our good. Amen?
Amen.
People don't make time for God. And if that's the case, that means God's not important to you. Because we make time for what is important for us. And so, we've come to the knowledge of truth. We've come to the knowledge that his name wasn't Jesus, it's Yeshua. We've come to the knowledge that he has taught us Torah perfectly and he encouraged us to do the same and to follow him. We've come to all this knowledge, but are we really living it? Are we really set apart? That was a great Torah portion today. Are we set apart? Do other people see it, or do we blend in? Do we look just like the world, act just like the world? Do we make ourselves do it? Are we wearing camo when we go about?
Yeah.
Just blending in. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, that's you too, ladies. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does Jehovah require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?
Yep.
So if you're like me, I would say, well, I kind of do that, but I often fall short. Sometimes I'll just wake up and I fall short. I'll do things that I later go, I wish I would have handled that differently. That wasn't humble. That wasn't really loving kindness. I fell short. Well, what do you do about it? Oh, well, he'll give me another chance tomorrow or the next day. No, you got to make things right. I mean, between Thursday night and today's Torah portion, I'm so convicted I've got to take care of some business with someone really quick, and it'll be tomorrow. Because we can't let moss grow under our feet when the Father tells us we need to take care of something. Amen? So we're heading into some tough times, and we need to fall short far less often. Let's just put it that way. As we become more and more like Yeshua, we should be falling short less and less, right? It may be a process, but that is not an excuse to sit where you're at and not grow and mature. So I believe that the elite and the New World Order's plans are going to collide and coincide with God's plans.
Yes.
The Almighty. See, everything in their plan is to bring humanity to the exact place that Revelation already has prophesied about. Imagine that. So here's a question for you. You guys all heard what I said last week about Barbara Marks Hubbard. She said, we are the riders of the pale horse and we're bringing death. She represents the New World Order. So let me ask you a question. Is Satan the mastermind of the plan or is God? Now, before you get all wigged out by that, it says in Exodus that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Did he harden his heart? Or did he give him over to his hardened heart? You know, God could just whisper in his ear and say, aren't you the great and mighty Pharaoh that ruled over everybody with fear and trembling? And Pharaoh's pride puffed up inside him and said, yes, you're right, my lord. Let me go destroy these people you call your children. See, I'm trying to make a joke of it. But God does not force you to be evil. He just gives you the incentive by your own attitudes, your own pride, your own lack of humility. And he says, go ahead, do what your heart is already, it's already in your heart to do this. He didn't want to let him go. So let me ask you this. Here's another hard question. If God gave Pharaoh over to his own heart, what if in the future he gave you or me over to our own heart?
Says.
Think about it. So we always talk about it's a matter of the heart, right, Tommy? It's a matter of the heart. It's the purity of the heart. It's not perfection. It's not how well have you kept the commandments. It's the heart. And really, God's the only one that can truly judge it purely. Even I don't think we can accurately judge our own hearts sometimes. If it's a matter of the heart, what if he gave you over to your own heart while you're exhibiting behavior that looks just like the world? If we're not extending mercy and grace and love to someone just because we don't feel like we ought to. It's a warning. You see, Satan is a defeated enemy. So what better way to inflict maximum damage in his last few years on planet Earth when he knows he's going to be defeated? He just tells you, no, we're not defeated. We can win this battle. And then secretly he's going, no, we can't. No, we have no chance in this battle. He knows he's defeated.
Yeah.
Remember, we talked about it a week or two ago. The demon said, have you come to torment us before our time? They already knew their judgment.
That's right.
Don't think that his minions knew and he didn't. Satan knows he's defeated. What better way to get people either on board with what the New World Order is doing or just get them to go along with it out of ignorance? I don't want to know. Doctor said do it. I'm just going to do it. I don't want to know. See, now we can see how the fake pandemic has helped them achieve their agenda. And we just got started, folks. This is just the beginning. The pandemic was the incident that spurred the solution, which is their, what? The vaccine. The control. But we got a lot more to talk about than just the vaccine. We're not even going to get into that today. Galatians 5, 19 through 20 outlines many works of the flesh, and it culminates with this statement. They that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, in the context of the way it's written, it means those who make those things a practice. meaning it's part of your normal life. It's not like I slipped up and I did one of those things and God's going to punish you. Repentance is a wonderful thing as long as it's not a practice in your life. Well, one of those things that people will be practicing that will not be a part of the kingdom of God is pharmakia, sorcery. And most of you already know what this word is, but just, you know, give me a little grace here. I'm going to share it with you because it's not only in Galatians, it's in Revelation 9:21 and Revelation 18:23. And so we're going to read those. Revelation 9:21 says, and it's speaking about all of these people who have endured all these things up to this point, all these hardships and all these plagues and the bowls and these pretty radical things that are going to happen on planet Earth. I mean, in a lot of them, there's not going to be any mystery on this has happened. Some of them, in the first couple of horses, you may not really know where we're at. We hit seal number 6. The mountain gets thrown in the ocean. From there on out, you're going to know exactly where you are in Revelation. Okay? So, Revelation 9:21 says, after all this, nor did they repent of their murders or of their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So despite knowing this was from the hand of God, despite knowing that his judgment is being passed, they would still not repent. Revelation 18 is talking about the fall of Babylon. And in verse 23 says, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Pharmakia, it's really easy for us to think, and I think the question's been posed, and it's a valid question. Well, what is pharmakia? You know, 2,000 years ago, it's different than today. But you got to remember, Revelation's a prophetic utterance about the future. So what we really need to do is we need to ask God, well, what does pharmakia mean in the time that Revelation will occur? Right? Make sense? So let's take a look at what the word actually means, because I want to clarify, this is not a condemnation for someone who's on a pharmaceutical drug. I'm not here to say every pharmaceutical drug is bad and evil. It's just that it has become corrupt and it's gone in a direction, as you'll see in a few minutes, that is beyond return to normalcy. But, you know, some people are in conditions where they have to have certain things. So this is not a condemnation of that. Strong's 5331. It has four definitions, and I'll read them in order. And normally the way Strong's does it is the most prominent one, and then he lists them in order. And then, well, it could also mean this, but this is less likely. So number one, and does anybody know when Strong's was written? Because I've heard it was 150, 200 years ago, but I'm not positive. Is that about right? Okay, so this is not written like the last 30, 40 years. Number one, the use or the administration of drugs. Number two, poisoning. Number three, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. And then four, the deceptions and the seductions of idolatry. So what does that mean today? I can only speak for what I know in America. I assume that this is all over the Western world because we have family in Germany and I know it's there, but I really can't speak for places I don't know. But in America, we have a massive amount of people on drugs, both street drugs and pharmaceutical prescribed drugs. And like I said, there are some circumstances where I realize it. You get your leg chopped off in a car wreck, you may want some morphine for a few days. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to say everything's bad, but you don't want to be taking morphine for the next 6 months. Amen? So this is some statistics. Almost 70% of Americans take at least one prescription medication. More than 50% take two prescription medications. And this is according to the Mayo Clinic. Now, the most common are antibiotics, antidepressants, and opioid painkillers. 1/5 of Americans, that's 20%, are taking 5 or more prescription drugs. And this is not isolated. They said this is ongoing. Like, the plan is permanently. Yep. Kind of like when diabetes medicine is prescribed, you know, the doctors will tell you this is for life, right? I don't think anybody's telling you diabetes can be cured. I could be wrong. From the CDC, it says this, and I actually read this on their website. It's just simple statistics, and they're from 2015 to 18, you know, because they're always behind a little bit. The percent of persons using at least one prescription drug in the past 30 days is 50%, 48.6%. Percent of persons using three or more prescription drugs in the past 30 days, 24%. And the percent of persons using five or more drugs is 12.8%. During physicians' office visits just in 2018, there was 860 million different prescriptions written in this country. The percentage of visits to a doctor in 2018 resulted in 68% of drug therapy, meaning a drug had to be prescribed. During hospital visits, 2018, they prescribed 336 million prescriptions of drugs, and 80% of the people ended up on drugs from their hospital visit. Now, I want to clarify this. I took biology in high school. I couldn't even figure out how to dissect the frog. So you shouldn't be taking medical advice from me, okay? And that's not why I'm up here. I'm not trying to give you medical advice. They like cut the middle of the frog like, I didn't. I was terrible. I flunked. But should we have a little common sense? Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah.
So are all these pharmaceutical drugs making us healthier? As a nation?
No.
Then we're not healthier than like 30, 40 years ago?
No.
No. How about 100 years ago? Hey. No. Hey. No. All right, so that's just common practice. So I've got my advice for the next person that runs for president of the United States, that you should make this your slogan: make America healthy again.
Yeah.
Amen. And on day one, I pledged to ban 95% of all pharmaceutical drugs. See, the bottom line is these drugs are not making us better. These drugs are treating us. They're not curing us. They're not designed to cure us. They never were intended. If they cured us, they would be broke.
That's right. Yeah.
If they don't continue to treat us, they aren't making money. And see, and a lot of the people that are part of the whole system are not they're not the bad guys. They're just part of a system that's corrupt. The pharmaceutical companies push it. They push it in med school. They push it everywhere. And there's got to be some. There's got to be something we wake up as Christians, and we have to understand that there's some agenda going on here, and it's not for our benefit. Here's some things I have never heard. Now, I could be an isolated incident. Don't get wigged out. But this is something I have never heard. Okay? Wow! Xanax removed anxiety and fear for good. Hallelujah. No, you know what it does? Xanax just allows you to deal with it temporarily until it wears off and you need more.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone say this. Crazy, but I'm taking Junia and my diabetes is gone. No, they want you to take Junia for life to treat the diabetes. Praise God, my Prinivil has cured my high blood pressure. See, you don't hear these things because none of it cures it, but we are spending hundreds of billions of dollars on all these drugs just to treat things that most of the time, not always, but most of the time, if you did things God's way and you took care of yourself, you ate a little healthier, had some natural supplements, you probably could get rid of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. But I want to talk about that last one, high blood pressure, because this was an eye-opener when I listened to a doctor talking about this about 2 weeks ago. The CDC states that 116 million Americans have high blood pressure. Does that surprise any of you?
Yeah.
Surprised me. We have about 340 million, somewhere around there in America. About 80, I think it's about 80, 75, 80 million are under 18 kids. So let's take that math out. And so you're looking at about 270, 280 million adults, and you got 116. I mean, you're talking about 40% of the population is on high blood pressure. That's almost half. Now, is life easier today or harder than it was 100 years ago? Because I'm pretty sure those guys got up at around 4 in the morning and worked till like 8, 9 at night in the summer. Couldn't wait for winter to come because then they only had to work 12 to 14 hour days. They worked hard. And most of them worked 6 days a week. And then they took that day off. You know, most of the time in this country, it was Sunday after the 1700s. But the point is, they worked far harder, had more to deal with. They had all kinds of stress. These are fairly new diseases that we're dealing with. And I know they've been around, but as far as the massive amount of people that are getting them. So my question, and I just thought of this morning, and, you know, I'm not going to make this a firm statement because I have no idea, but what if they're giving us a gauge to measure high blood pressure that may be a little off?
That's right.
I don't even know what that gauge is because I've lived my whole life with slightly low blood pressure, hallelujah. But, you know, like my dad worked 20 hours a week. He flew airplanes. You know, he just pushed a button and the computer would fly the plane. It was the easiest job on earth. And they were always trying to put him on high blood pressure. I'm like, I don't get it. He used to tell me, he goes, I have the most stress-free life in the world. Worked 20 hours a week. He played golf every day. He had a good life. Had no stress, but they wanted him on high blood pressure. I'm not sure how or why, and I'm not going to get into it. But the point is this, it was very suspicious to me. So how does this work in with what I wanted to bring up today? How does high blood pressure medicine work? And I'm not looking for the technical doctor's term on it. I'm like, how does it work? And you'd say, duh, Tom, it brings your blood pressure down. Duh. Simple, right? So what I'm going to say next may be hard to swallow. I'm asking you to consider it, and I'm asking you to maybe do your own research on it. Amen?
Amen.
Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the serpent. He's talking to Satan, who used a serpent to deceive the woman. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So what is the serpent seed? Because there's some crazy people out there that have some crazy ideas, and it's enough to make me sick. And I'm not going to get into them. But you got, you know, anytime there's an opportunity to write a new book, you know. The way I see it, and this is just my theory, and I'm always careful to tell you when it's a theory versus what the Word of God clearly says. Satan, we know from Scripture, that Satan and the angels cannot intermarry with human beings. That's why we know that the book of Enoch that we have today is not accurate. It wasn't original. It's got too much in there that just talks about things that is impossible. And there are scriptures in the Bible that say that's impossible. So when it talks about the sons of God and they came together with the women, it's not the angels. What it is, I'm going to let you figure that out later. That's not what we're talking about today. What is Satan's seed? It's the seed that he implants into you and I when he tries to entice you to follow his ways and to worship him. How do you worship Satan? By failing to worship God.
Yep.
He who is not for me is against me. If you're not worshiping God and you're not doing it God's way, you unknowingly are worshiping Satan. I know that's harsh, but it's reality, and it's something we just have to deal with. So Satan is a deceiver. We know that. He comes along and he feeds deception to try to get you to follow along. His goal, he knows he's lost. He just wants to take as many people with him. It's this hatred of God, this hatred of the fact that he's been thrown out of his glory. He knows he has a limited time. He knows his destiny and his punishment. And he wants to take as many people with him. Why? Because we reflect the glory and the image of God. So every time he steals one of us from him, it's kind of like him, you know, sticking his nose in God's face. And he's far more successful than he should be. The serpent is represented as a snake. You know, there's a lot of, you know, talk about that amongst the guys who are far smarter than me. But I'm just going to take that he was a snake wrapped in a tree talking to Eve, okay? If you want to believe it was something else, that's fine. The snake is a fearsome creature. I don't know about you, but I see a 2-foot garden snake and I'm running. I'm like, I'm not trying to kill it. I mean, I may go get a shovel if it has to be killed, but I'm just like, go away, just leave. I don't like snakes. I can't stand them. They're dangerous. If you don't know what kind it is, they can kill you quite easily. I just want to leave him alone. Not one amen, Jim. Not one amen. I guess we got a lot of people that like snakes. I know they kill the mice. That's a good thing. In India, I got to play in India, play golf. For those of you who know me in my past, I was a golfer. I got to play in India twice. And I ended up playing the same place in in New Delhi. Same golf course. And it always intrigued me because they had signs and they were written for the people there. I guess it was Hindu. So I asked the first time, I go, what do those signs say? Because they're all over the place in the bush. Because this golf course was just really narrow and then you had all kinds of bush on the side. And they said, the sign says, do not go in here, cobra habitat. So you know what the members of the club, which are the elite, the rich, they send their caddies in there to get their golf balls. Because that golf ball is worth $1. And the caddy's life to the elite is worth nothing. I had a guy who was caddying for me when I was over there the first time. And, I didn't hit it into the trees very much. But one time I did, I hit it into the trees. And he's like, I go. And I go, no, you don't go. You stay right here. You go, no, golf ball, valuable. No, I have more. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't let him go into the trees. I just couldn't stand the thought of it. But that's how they live over there. And I asked somebody when I was there, I said, are cobra bites, is it a real problem here? He goes, it's one of the largest causes of death in all of India. Because of the way they live, their houses don't have sealed doors like we have. And they just come in at night and they come in and they usually aren't there to try to harm you, but you get up or you move in the middle of the night and you disrupt them and you get bit. So the cobra bite is extremely dangerous. There's two snakes in India that are probably two of the most dangerous snakes on earth. Anybody know what the other one is? If you've watched some of the recent news, you probably know it's the crate. The crate. C-R-A-T-E, I believe is how they spell. But the crate is just a little guy. He doesn't look like much, but his venom is more powerful than the cobra, which can get to be 15 feet long. So these two bites are lethal, and in most cases, if untreated really quickly, you're going to die. A cobra bite can bring down a full-size bull elephant. It's that powerful. So this is not something that we should, ignore. Thank goodness we don't have them here in this country, but this is a reality for people who live all over Asia. So it brings me to a question. Are you aware that snake venom, spider venom, and other poisonous animal venom has been used for many, many years in drugs that are already approved by the FDA? Yes. And why are we taking them? See, they won't advertise this on TV, but if you're fluent in Latin, you can open up any of those long sheets of, ingredients and side effects, and it's right there in plain sight. Remember I said week one, the agenda is hidden in plain sight? Yeah. It's right there for us. Scientist Mike Adams has evidence that the snake venom has been used in a lot of high blood pressure medicines. What better way to get your heart to slow down than to put just a tiny amount of snake venom in there? Because if you were bit by a snake, you know what happens? Your heart slowly stops working, your blood pressure drops, and you die. Now, certain snakes, not every poisonous snake. So I'm asking you just to consider this, because here's what you're going to find if you go do the research. You got a bunch of really valid, I'm talking about scientists and doctors that have been doing this 30, 40 years, not guys fresh out of school trying to make a name. And they're all verifying this is true. And they've done these studies. But then you have these other people that are part of the establishment, and you're going to read these articles, how that's ridiculous, that can't happen. You're going to have to use the spirit of the living God. Amen. Because the spirit of the God is going to tell you that what's going on right now in the medical world is all lining up with God's plan. And that's why we need to be so in tune with what he's trying to do. That's why you do not need to be going for cupcakes and coffee when it comes time to honor God on the Shabbat. You need to be getting some meat. Yes. And we're tired of it. Now, we don't do this every week. You don't get 52 weeks of world events. But once, twice a year, I'm going to talk about the times that we're in. And I'm not going to apologize for it. Come on. We need to know what's going on. Do we know all this for sure? Maybe you can't say 100% for sure, but I know that these guys are all called conspiracy theorists today, and tomorrow they will be called fact. Right. Yeah. They will be called fact givers. Yeah. Because all the guys that a year and a half ago were talking about all the conspiracy theories, now we're all going, wow, that was actually accurate. The medications may temporarily lower your blood pressure, but what is it doing to your heart? What is snake venom doing to your heart? And what is it doing to your internal organs? Do a little research on what happens to the internal organs when this stuff goes in there. It is not for your good. They want you on these medications as long as they can. They want to milk every dollar out of your pocket and out of the insurance companies they can, and then they don't care about you. They send you home to die. They want to treat you. They do not want to cure you. God wants to cure you. He does not want to treat you.
That's right.
But nobody wants to be cured. We just want to be instantly laid hands on. He goes, no, I want to cure your heart. The rest will take care of itself.
Yep.
We all want the instant.
Yeah.
If you want instant, go get Quaker Oats. They're instant. God wants to deal with you in time and cure your heart.
That's right.
He wants to cure my heart. COVID-19 symptoms actually look a lot like the symptoms you get with a very mild snake bite. For me personally, I was weak, slight fever, my oxygen levels ran low, I was fatigued, unable to think clearly, and completely unable to focus on anything. Anybody else feel that when they caught it?
Yeah.
Could I have been poisoned? By a corrupt government, or is it just something that came out of a bat factory in China? Or a leaked lab in China? Really? Are we still even contemplating that? This is all part of a plan, folks, and why they want to get you into the hospital to treat you. They want to treat you because you are a walking $500 million bill. Maybe not that much, but anyway, you know what I mean. Now, the doctors and the nurses on the front lines, most of them are heroes. Most of them don't realize. Some of them do, and when they do, you can bet they change their tune, right? Karen, would you ever put someone on remdesivir and put them on a ventilator?
Yeah.
Not with what you know now, right? But at one point in time, everybody's going like, that sounds like a good idea because that's what the doctors are saying. So this is not to put bad light on them. I believe most of them are not ill-willed. They are just ill-informed.
Right.
If they can't get you one way, they'll get you another way. One of the things we know for sure is the whole treatment has not really worked. The vaccine really hasn't worked. Oh, we've been doing it a year and a half. Like, okay, we admit. I mean, the CDC is admitting it doesn't stop it. It doesn't prevent transmission. It doesn't keep you from getting it. I'm like, why do we do it then? Why are we still doing it? Why are we doubling up on doses? Millions are dying from these practices. Billions are being made on the drugs. And there was never a need for it anyway. 99.8% mortality rate. Are you serious? It's time to wake up, America. By the time some people figure it out, it's going to be too late. Because the 2030 agenda wants to get rid of a lot of people on planet Earth. We got 7.5 billion now. They want 500 million. Do the math. That's a massive, massive onslaught against humanity. 85 to 90% of the planet. And I know this is heavy stuff and you don't want to hear it, but guess what? I don't really want to give it. Okay? This is not fun. This is not something I wake up, yay! But you know what the whole thing is you got two choices today. You look at this like, oh my gosh, this is what we got. Or you could say, our king is almost here.
That's right.
We're approaching the end of the book and he's coming, but we got to finish the race. Amen?
Yes.
See, you can't have glory without going through the battle. Sorry. And I got news for you. If you're sitting around wondering if we're going to have World War III soon, it already started.
Yep.
World War III is worldwide against all of humanity.
That's right.
It's not isolated to a thing in Ukraine, and we're going to talk about that next week. It's really a worldwide war on humanity.
Yes.
And humanity is basically everything and anything that falls outside of what they deem necessary and elites. Who they want for that 500 million, I have no idea. But at the end of the day, they've said it too many times. They put it in print. They put it in granite over in Elberton, I believe. They've already stated what they want, and it's out in the open. So, why do we insist here you need to start learning to trust God? Because he's the only thing you could truly trust in to begin with. If you fail to learn to trust God, you will fail, period. You will have no hope. You have to learn to trust God. How do you think the disciples survived? Because they were so witty and smart, they took survival training? Or did they learn to trust in God? I mean, I read the scripture. I read the book of Acts. I'm like, my goodness, he baptizes this guy. They go underwater, and all of a sudden, he's 80 miles away in another town. That's supernatural. That's the Father. There's a lot of things that were done that were supernatural. And it could happen again, but it's not going to happen to people who are sitting on the couch and eating bonbons going like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to Shabbat. I'm tired. We're going to close out this section talking about another topic that you're not going to like. But I'm going to tell you because this is a warning. Amen? Anybody ready for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Yeah, we don't have any back there, do we? Yeah. I asked Tom to stop bringing donuts, and, you know, now we got no peanut butter and jelly. This article is titled, and this is the title of the article, Johns Hopkins University Confirms You Can Be Vaccinated with a PCR Test, even without knowing it. Now, listen, I know some people have had it. And I said this a year and a half ago. I said it many times since then. And I don't ever mean this to be an excuse, because some people will take what I'm about to say and they say, see, that's an excuse. God's protecting me. I can do whatever I want. I can, you know, shove this up my nose. I can take a vaccine. I can, you know, I can eat poison, whatever. I do believe God has mercy on people who do things in ignorance. Yes. Now, ignorance is not a bad thing. That's just saying you're unaware, you weren't educated, you got a little rash, you got nervous, you made a bad mistake, but you truly love God. He can forgive you, number one, and he can also cure you.
Yes. Yeah.
If he can make limbs grow and he can make the blind see, I'm sure this isn't beyond his right arm. Amen? Amen?
That's right.
But it is not an excuse to test the Creator.
Absolutely.
And I don't believe anybody is going to get healed and completely have that stuff removed from their system unless it's a true on your face heartfelt confession, because in the beginning it was a statement saying, I don't need God, I can handle it on my own, I'll get this shot, I'll do whatever I want to do. So if you've had the vaccine, I'm not here condemning you. It's just like Torah portion talks about tattoos. A lot of people had tattoos before they realized the Bible says you shouldn't. It's not a condemnation. It's just understanding what the scriptures say. Amen?
Yes.
So here are some excerpts. January 2019, WHO defined the growing number of vaccination critics as one of the top 10 threats to global health. So I was a top 10 threat to global health. Didn't realize I made the top 10 list. Pretty proud of that one. Is that kind of pride okay? Meanwhile, resistance is forming even within the Orthodox medical establishment. Why? Because they're starting to understand after a period of time when stuff doesn't work and they start seeing things, you know, especially the ones that have a heart for God that are in the medical community, they're like, we can't keep doing this stuff. The masterminds of the WHO continue to insist on the unrealistic vaccination coverage of at least 70%. And this is talking primarily about America. And they were very frustrated. Remember when that frustration was? Remember when Joe Biden told us he was losing his patience with us? Remember that? He's like, we're only at 42%. I've been telling people we were well over 60. They go, yeah, well, you must have forgot that one, Joe. But the bottom line is they were getting frustrated because they wanted to have this very high success rate. There's a reason, because it's part of the agenda. And in the article, Jan Walter describes with an extensive source of citations which techniques are possible to still vaccinate the population with them not knowing. And that's what led to the study of Johns Hopkins, and they developed a way to be able to vaccinate people through the PCR test. Now, if you've ever seen some stuff or heard from doctors who actually examine the Q-tip swabs, they noticed that there's some things in there, they're not really sure what it is. Well, we'll see. O'Sullivan is a former television news host that basically is now kind of gone away from mainstream media, and he said that there is new technology developed at Johns Hopkins University that is able to make it possible to carry out covert vaccinations through the PCR test. It is inspired by a parasitic worm that digs its sharp teeth into the intestines of its host. Well, John Hopkins researchers have developed a tiny star-shaped microdevice that attaches to the intestinal mucosa, and it can deliver drugs into the body. And this is how it works. These tiny devices, known as TheraGrippers, are made of metal and a thin film that changes shape. They are covered with heat-sensitive kerosene wax and each no larger than a dust particle. When the kerosene coating on the TheraGripper reaches body temperature, meaning inside your body, the devices close autonomously and clamp down on the wall of the colon. Because of the sealing action, the tiny six-pointed device burrows into the mucosa and attaches to the colon, where it can gradually release the drug load to the body. Eventually, the TheraGripper will lose their grip on the tissue and are removed through the colon through normal gastrointestinal muscle function. According to John Hopkins University, TheraGrippers are actually administered with a cotton swab. So I'm no expert. I'm no medical doctor. I don't even know much about medical things at all. But we told you 2 years ago. Yeah, it was right when they were starting the testing. So I think it's been right 2 years to stay away from the PCR tests. If you've been here 2 years, you remember us telling you that. Now, I didn't know all the details back then. I had no idea. I just knew there was something going on. I'd heard some theories. You know, I heard some conspiracy theories that are now facts. And we just knew in our spirit, the Spirit of God said, you don't want any part of that.
Amen.
We were called conspiracy theorists, and today we're fact givers. We told you 1.5 years ago to have nothing to do with this vaccine when it was about to be rolled out. We didn't know all the details, but we had the warning from the Spirit of the living God in us. Yet many still went ahead with it. And those who spoke against the vaccine, us included, were considered terrorists, disinformation spreaders, and a menace to society. Today, we're just considered fact givers. I'm telling you today, have nothing to do with either one of them, and have nothing to do with future booster shots, have nothing to do with anything that the government is going to insist you take for your good when it's already proven that it has no value to us. It has value to them, it has no value to you and I. It may not be the mark that Revelation talks about, the mark of the beast, but I can tell you this and I can promise you this. It is a mark of a beast system that you should have no part of. Every single generation that has ever lived has had their mark of the beast moment where they've had to decide between what the Word of God says that goes into my body and how I behave and how I'm going to react to what the society around me is telling me to do.
Yeah.
Everybody has had their mark of the beast moment. Everybody has had tough decisions, some far worse than what we're facing today.
Yeah. Amen.
And if you can't say no to something that you already know is an absolute disaster today, and you can't say no to that, how do you think you're going to respond when they take your family or your kids or they withhold food from you and you're starving? You really think you're going to muster up a strength to go, no, this is the mark of the beast. Again, if you've already done it, just repent. You don't need to tell me about it. You can if you want, but you don't need. I will not judge you. I've actually come down hard on people who have made comments that are judging. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You cannot do it, because you know what? If you want to judge somebody for making that mistake there, they will probably find something in your life you did within the last 24 hours that was just as offensive to our Creator. Amen?
That's right.
It is a beast system that we are dealing with, and we have to learn to discern what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, do not put stuff in your body that's going to defile you, that is going to be unhealthy for you. And this stuff is poison. What level it carries out its duty on us, I don't know. We'll find out in time.
Amen.
There is no vacation, cruise, sporting event, or job worth giving up your health and your life for.
Yeah.
I've heard people like, well, I could, you know, I had to get it because of this reason or that reason. And I'm not trying to be mean or harsh to people, but that's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your life.
Yeah.
What about your family? What about your loved ones? Do you have no concern for them? It's not worth it. Henry Kissinger had a quote, and we're just about ready to close. He said this a long time ago. He said, he who controls the food supply controls the people. He who controls the energy can control entire continents. Yep. But he who controls the money can control the world. There is an agenda out there. Yeah. And it's diametrically opposed to God's agenda. But the thing is, and it's almost comical, God's going to use their agenda to fit in with what he's trying to do. And he's going to execute his plan. It's just a matter of whose side are you on. And you can be on the wrong side by default if you don't learn that you have to take a stand and believe in what God is doing in our lives. Future decisions that are put before you are going to require you to make a decision on how you move forward. There's going to be some inconveniences that are going to be faced if you take the narrow path and you follow God's word. See, trusting in God does not mean it's going to be easy. It's rarely easy. But you got to start thinking about it now, because I guarantee you, if you aren't firmly planted today, you will never make that decision tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen? Start determining in your heart if you're willing to take a stand no matter what, because that's what the Father is asking of each and every one of us. Matthew 16:26. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? Amen. Is anything worth more than your soul? Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We are humbled that you have called us out of darkness into your light. We're humbled that you have chosen us to be a part of your family, to be grafted into your natural branch, your natural tree, Father. We are just humbled that you have asked us to be holy like you are holy. Something that seemed so impossible in our previous state and our previous religious mindset. But yet you are clearly showing us day in and day out through our teachers that it's not only possible, but you wouldn't ask us to do something that's impossible. It's something that's possible. It just requires that we shed the cares of the world that cause us to make decisions that are unpleasing in your eyes. So, Father, give us the strength to do that. Father, I ask that each and every person in here would desire to have more discernment, so that we can deal with the onslaught of deception that will be coming our way in the near future, Father. May your discernment fall on us. May your spirit fall on us. May you give us strength and courage to deal with the times that are ahead, so that we can be a light unto the people that are still undecided, that have still not made a decision. I have no delusion, Father, that there's going to be a great harvest awaiting, but there are people that need you and love you out there, and we need to be a light to those people, no matter how few they are, no matter how many they are. Let us truly be set apart so that we can be a light unto the nations.
Amen.
And Father, we just come before you and we admit there's no way we can do that without you. Just like Moses said, if you will not go with us, then I won't go. You can do this. He was firmly planted that he had to have you go with him and go before him. And Father, we are the same way. We know that we need to have you go before us. We need to have your spirit dwelling in us. We need to rely on you. And that means we need to focus on getting to know you better. We need to spend less time listening to every Yahoo on the internet and just start focusing on listening to your word and what you have to say to us, Father. Let us draw close to you so that you can draw near to us. Let our hearts be set on you, for you are a great and awesome God. You are to be feared, but you are also to be loved. You are a perfect balance that no other false god out there offers. You offer the perfect balance, Father. Mercy and justice, kindness and goodness and judgment. Let us understand that you are not to be trivialized, but you also are for us and you love us, Father. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. And it's in Yeshua's name we pray. Yevarechecha Yehovah v'yishmerecha. Yair Yehovah panavalecha v'hunecha. Yisa Yehovah panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In the mighty name of Yeshua we pray. Amen and amen.